Welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And what a morning it has been, Joe Rex Road. How are we doing?
I'm fine. I feel like you guys have had quite the ordeal. How's that hotspot working for you?
I mean, I guess that's more of a question for you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, seems fine. So I guess we can ask the listeners, though. You know, don't be afraid to complain on the text line. By WilsonCountyHoney.com.
Yeah, what a morning it's been. I walked outside this morning and was all ready to, you know, brave the cold and go into the studio. And lo and behold, the car doesn't start. So I said, you know what? Okay, I'll take the wife's car. I'll go on back to the old house while we still have it. There's internet there. We're getting internet in our new house today at some point. I get over here. No internet in the house. Just not working. Just totally done at this point. So we'll see if this mobile hotspot pulls up. A little bit of a test this morning.
You sound good. You're
still paying? Yeah, it sounds fine. You still paying for the internet at the old place?
Yeah, man. So I'll be having a conversation with them later today.
Absolutely. Well, that's okay. So internet in the new house is today. So that's what you've been waiting for, to have the humongous kegger with the ice luge.
That is correct.
I was one of the jello shots and the clowns and the jugglers.
You got to have good Wi-Fi if you're going to have all these people over and be, you know, scooting around all over the place on ice.
That's a good point. Yeah. I assume you're probably going to have about a bunch of live bands. You want them to be able to have all the technology they need. Yeah,
for sure. I don't think there's any question about it. Michelle, how's your morning been? What's going on?
Oh, well, guys, it's been a morning. Right as Robbie texts, actually, thank God for you, Robbie, because I think that's what woke me up. We've been doing the two shows, you know, and I just was down for the count, and all of a sudden I'm like, I'm like waking up kind of normal, and I look at my clock, like my phone, it's 5:27. I whipped out of bed so quick. Ooh. I'm like running around my house, like, but then also so confused. I got my toothbrush hanging out my mouth. I'm trying to text you guys, like, on the way running, like, I'm texting Will, the overnight guy, like, don't you worry, I'm on my way. My coffee is in a reusable water bottle right now. Like,
nice.
Listen, I made it with 11 minutes to spare and hit every single green light. So we're good. We are rolling. But I was nervous for a second.
Yeah.
Man. Well, so, you know, we should apologize in advance to the listeners. Normally we have a 2-hour pre-show meeting every day. That we meticulously go over every word we're going to say.
Correct.
So, you know, today may be a little ragged. We may have some bad dad jokes today, you know? Who knows?
Joe, you've missed the last couple meetings. Robbie and I have been here.
Exclusively Davis Mills in the 9 o'clock hour. Who knows? Yeah, who knows what could happen today?
I think we might have a show all on college basketball. I think Penny Hardaway has given us enough reason to have an entire show on college basketball.
Maybe so. Seems to be going well out there. Seems like he's handling things well, and everything's going smoothly for old Penny.
Man, I mean, I don't know if that's one of those things that, I mean, anybody who, you know, is on Twitter and follows sports accounts, I'm assuming has seen his tirade from last night, but if not, it's already readily accessible on the internet, and my gosh, is it ridiculous.
Yeah, it seems like things are falling apart out there for old Penny Hardaway in Memphis. You know, what did he say earlier? Like, I want all the noise. Is that what he said?
I want all the smoke.
And now, like, they keep losing, and he's blaming it on, you know, playing four freshmen. You're like, well, apparently you don't want all the smoke, Penny. I saw Elijah point that out last night, and I was like, yeah, it's good stuff out there. Vols fans, as you know, really got a lot of sympathy for Penny Hardaway as well.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not enjoying it at all. I haven't really caught up. I'm sure Vol Twitter is, you know, totally, like, handling this well, like, chilling about it. You know, like, give the guy a little time. It's incredible. First of all, just the F-bombs he's throwing all over the place. Yelling at Jeff Calkins, who's honestly one of the most respected journalists, you know, who's been writing college sports for a long time. And, you know, yeah, making the freshman excuse. When, like, a couple weeks ago, he was complaining about the old guys on the team and you know, the freshmen were doing great. I mean, it's just like he's taking zero accountability for what is really a disastrous season. I mean, 9-8, that is a disaster. Talk about how, like, talking earlier this week about the overstating, like, the Stackhouse situation. 9-8 with that team, with that recruiting class, that's a disaster. They're not going to make the NCAA tournament, and that's a problem.
And I just got a notification that somebody tried to log into my Apple ID in China. So just keep them coming this morning. Just get after it.
What a day to be alive.
Sorry, I denied access. We'll see if we can fix all that as we move forward here.
Good.
What a day so far. Speaking of what a day for the Nashville Predators yesterday. They get it done 5-2 against the Winnipeg Jets. They snap a four-game losing streak last night back in the win column at Bridgestone Arena. 5-2 is the final score. Mikael Granlund on the board in Preds Pick to Click. Luke Cunning on the board in Preds Pick to Click. Philip Forsberg not on the board last night, nor was Matt Duchesne. So two of the four of us last night living large, living happy with the Nashville
Brian Predators. Johansson was. I knew it was going to happen.
Yes, yep. He was.
When you don't pick him, there's at least a chance he'll score. And yeah, I'd like to talk. I'd like to taunt all the listeners and everything. That's great, and thanks for participating. But I'd like to taunt you right now because I'm back tied with you. Yay!
Yes, Joe Rexroad back tied for first place. That's an important win last night, I think. I mean, you jump out to a 3-0 lead in the first period. It was one of those things where Saros, I think, had to be really good in the second period and parts of the third as well. Ultimately, you're able to hang in there, get it done. Tanner Jeannot scores the empty netter to make it 5-2 at the end of the game. But that's an important win last night. Obviously, important to get Matthias Ekholm back in the lineup as well. He comes off the COVID list. Matt Tennyson in there last night as well. So, you know, the bodies continue to kind of shift in and out, especially on the defensive side of things. But important to get back in the win column and snap that losing streak last night if you're the Predators.
Yeah, and, it was obviously a whole bunch of push from the Jets, you know, in the second, third periods. And it was, it was a little bit too much probably playing defense and being cautious, but, you know, that's a dangerous team, obviously. I very much liked the reaction when, Kyle Connor decides to put snow in, UC Saros' face. That was interesting.
It was. And
Tanner Jeannot, yeah, pretty decent scrap there, but that's another. I feel like that felt like a real chippy game between teams that should be rivals, and I feel like the Preds are kind of like the team now that they're gonna have a lot of enemies in the league.
Yeah,
the way they're playing, you know.
Yeah, well, I keep wondering, like, is there going to come a point where somebody looks at Tanner Jeannot and says, "Yeah, you know what? I think we'll skip out on this scrap." Logan Stanley, no relation to me last night, tried it and didn't go well for Logan last night.
No, he hung in there for a little bit, but ultimately he had to have a little bit of regret by the end of it. So, but a big win for the Preds. Just to stop again, basically a bad week, you know, bad week. Now a bad week in this league can be costly because you play a lot of games in some weeks, but, it was good to get, I think, for them to get some different guys on the board beyond the Preds Pick to Click. And, you know, a guy who I think is, you know, making some plays and you're noticing him is like Tomasino is a guy who I feel like he's continuing to improve.
Well, a nice redirection by Tolvanen to set up that first goal, gets it back on the rebound. But, yeah, I mean, secondary scoring, as we know, that's going to have to be, you know, a big part of this group as they move forward here. Good to see Tolvanen on the board last night. Cunning gets on the board last night. And then Jeannot, you know, adds one with the empty net. By the way, the empty net goal, like, people aren't going to even really pay attention to today. What a freaking play by Mikael Granlund. Like, he blocks the shot, sends the puck out of the zone to Colton Sissons, and, you know, Sissons chips it ahead to Jeannot. But that play to me, you know, he scores a goal in the game. But that play to me is kind of symbolic of what Granlund brings to the table. Just – being willing to do everything to help this team win, stands right in front of just a one-timer, blocks the shot, and then chips that puck ahead. He continues to be incredible.
Yeah, he's a coach's dream kind of player, you know. Definitely for John Hines. I mean, we've seen how much, really from the start, that he's utilized him and appreciated him. And, of course, Roman Josi, is now the all-time leader in assists franchise history.
Which, I mean, he's a defenseman. That's pretty insane that he's been able to do that. And it was funny to watch him last night.
In his prime, by the way. The defenseman in his prime, and he's the all-time leader.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot more assists where that's coming from. I had a couple more last night. It was funny watching him after the game. You know, everybody remembers your first goal, right, in the NHL. He was trying to really, really hard to, like, nail down what his first assist was. I think we finally determined that it was against Buffalo in 2011 at Bridgestone Arena, and it was to David Legwand. So cool that he passes David Legwand last night, and his first assist of his career was to David Legwand as well.
Very cool. Very cool. Yes, he was like, I remember my first goal, but and then when he found out, he's like, yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. So big win for the Predators last night. We'll see if they can keep things going coming up tomorrow night against the Detroit Red Wings. Remember, keep in mind, if you're going to the Red Wings game, that game originally scheduled to start at 7 o'clock. It will now start at 7:30 tomorrow night. So big, big day of sports in our area tomorrow. You've got the Nashville Predators taking on the Red Wings at 7:30. And then there's, you know, some playoff game taking place at Nissan Stadium as well. We'll get into that coming up next. Continue to look ahead at the Titans and Bengals. Take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. What so far has been a bit of a disaster of a Friday morning for some of us. No car starting for me this morning, no internet. Liam on the text line says, this is what makes your show so amazing. Very relatable to real life and how we're all just barely holding it together most of the time. Thank you, Liam. We are a show of the people.
Well, Liam, if your definition of a good show is people who are barely holding on and barely able to go through their daily functions, then this is the show for you.
Yeah, this is
at least as it relates to one of us. I can't really speak.
Me too. Me too, Joe.
Yeah. We'll all get through together, Liam, buddy.
Well, good news is we got a playoff game tomorrow to look forward to. You know, we've been talking this matchup for all week long and the playoffs for 2 weeks now. I'm just ready to see some football. I'm ready to see this Titans team get on the field. Enough talk. Let's get on the field and play a little football. I've reached that point, Joe Rexroad.
Yeah. No, it's that's the thing. When you have a bye week, and you get the bye, which means you get the week off, but it's a bye week.
Thank you.
That's a long time, you know, and also, I mean, the last half of football this team played wasn't especially inspiring, you know. I mean, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, you know, Tannehill got it together and kind of saved the day. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm excited about this one. I'm excited about all four games, frankly, and I'm just fascinated to see how this one is going to play out. The more I think about it, you know, the more I think the start of this, you know, not that it's ever unimportant, but the start of this game to me seems important because the Bengals are in that rhythm and they're hot and Joe Burrow's hot. And the Titans have had not great first quarters, especially offensively. And they've had the long break. And, you know, I hate to bring this up, but what was that Browns Titans score last year? It was like 35-0 in like a minute, you know? Like you just, you know, you want to come out and play well in the first quarter. The Titans are an incredible second quarter team, and that's an incredible link to success, which Beauclair talked about this last week, and it's really interesting. He wrote a piece about it for SI.com. Like they're, you know, they have dominant second quarter numbers, and second quarter numbers, correlate with winning like more than you would think.
Oh yeah,
but you can't have a bad first quarter.
That's the same thing. Like the Packers, their second quarter numbers are unbelievable. They're like 27th in the league in first quarter scoring, and then the second quarter they just turn it on. It's so weird.
Vrabel and LaFleur.
Yeah, man. Dynamic philosophy. Duo. Yeah, just lull them to sleep, and then the second quarter rolls around, and they're ready to strike. At that point, not a bad philosophy for the two number one seeds in each conference. So it was interesting yesterday, Rex Road. Julio Jones and Taylor Lewan doing kind of a joint press conference. We'll get to the Taylor Lewan part of this coming up here in just a few minutes with some of the things that he said yesterday. But number one, that was an interesting combination that they rolled out there yesterday with Julio and Taylor Lewan. But Julio seems like he's having a little bit of fun heading into this game. Seems like mentally he's in a good spot heading into this playoff game. At least that's what I took away from it yesterday.
Yeah. Well, so A.J. Brown went first.
Yep.
And I was largely focused on standing right next to the space heater, even though flames were shooting out of it. And I could have had my hair burned. But so A.J.'s talking and Taylor Lewan is sitting there waiting his turn. So Taylor Lewan's going to come next. And then as soon as A.J. leaves the podium, Julio comes out of the building and it's like, okay, I'm up. So Lewan's like, you know, like, all right, let's go together. So they did. And I agree. I would say, first of all, I'll go to a tweet from Kaharski and I kind of had the same thought. And now look, we know how he's a relentless optimist, that Paul Kaharski.
Yep.
But I sort of had the same feeling. It doesn't always mean a lot, but his tweet was, I'm going to find it exactly so I can quote it. He was talking about how just the overall kind of mood of them seemed to be, you know, seemed to be really good. And that could just be because they're finally like they're just like you and they're sick of like not having football to play. And now they got football to play. But, you know, I do take a little bit out of that. And I feel like with Julio in particular, you know, yeah, here's the quote from, I'm going to have it not to read into such things, but Vrabel, Jones, Lewan, Brown were all in terrific moods this afternoon. But with Jones in particular, he seems like he's in the bet. Like, one, he doesn't have to answer injury questions now. So that's kind of been finally put behind him. And they've had this extra time. I have no doubt that Tannehill and Julio Jones have used that, you know, because they need it. I mean, they need that time. They need those little details, different coverages and timing, all that stuff. It's a big deal. So he looks, you know, primed to have some kind of a factor in this game.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I think this term gets overused a lot in sports, but the fresh start, quote unquote, it's a new season, Joe Rex. I don't know if you've heard that. It's a new season heading into the playoffs. And
throw out the records.
Yeah, you can throw out the records. Everything, you know, everything you've done at this point doesn't really matter. I don't know if you've heard that before, but that's been a big talking point among teams the past few weeks. But in all seriousness, like Julio Jones, we talked about it yesterday. This is really the time of the year that you brought him in for, was to help you get through the playoffs, make a deep run, and establish yourself as one of the top teams in the AFC, hopefully get to the Super Bowl. Now, you know, I think it's fair to say expectations have shifted pretty dramatically with Julio Jones from the time he first got here to what we've seen on the field transpire this year. But, you know, I'm not going to totally discount that he can go out there and help this team win and be a big difference maker in a game. Like, you know, we talked about it yesterday, the Atlanta Julio Jones. I don't know that that's realistic in his career anymore based on how old he is and the injuries that he sustained. But I also totally reject this idea that, well, you don't need Julio Jones. I mean, you need a number two wide receiver. And if it's not going to be Julio Jones, who in the world is the number two wide receiver on this team? Like, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine has made some big plays.
Careful.
Like, he's not a number two wide receiver. Sorry, friend of the show. I know you love him. The button's on today probably. But not a number two wide receiver in the league. So, like, Julio Jones still has a pretty important role on this team.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's you know, a lot more potential to make big plays. Well, there has been. That's the question. I mean, I would say that those guys have been kind of comparable lately, which is a step up for Julio, by the way.
Yeah.
So, you know, keep that in mind. Look, I mean, I think Nick Westbrook-Ikhine has worked his way into a situation where he's going to be, have a role, and he could very well make big plays, but you need, you know, you need three, you need four. And if they have Julio actually playing well, Westbrook-Ikhine is going to be out there a lot. And, you know, I think he'll make some plays in this game. And then, you know, Chester Rogers is a guy who can give you some stuff in the slot too. So But I agree with you that if you actually had Julio Jones as a dangerous two, as a productive two, that that takes you to a different place. And you know, we've talked about the ESPN stats and info, well-worn stat a lot, 7 yards a play with the three quote-unquote, you know, big stars on the field together, which has not happened much at all.
So you think Vrabel's in a good mood because he's read the stat about the 8-plus days of rest and his record in that time?
Well, maybe he knows why that stat is what it is.
Maybe. I
mean, he must have a formula. You know, one interesting thing that was brought up yesterday, and again, I bring up Kaharski because he asked the question. I don't know if he's writing something about this or what. It's an interesting little angle, but the Titan, you know, the night before, now like in college sports, it's 100%. Like the night before a game, home or road, I know for sure football and basketball teams, and I think, you know, but definitely that, you know, they all stay in a hotel. Even home games, you know, like the Vols, Vanderbilt, like the team stays in a hotel. Night before a home game, even. But the Titans have that. And I guess I thought most teams sort of did the same thing in the NFL, but at least with the Titans, it's your choice, you know. So, which kind of like training camp, I guess. Like some of the veterans get to go home once the actual camp breaks, and then like the young guys still are staying in the hotel. But it's just kind of interesting that, you know, it's sort of like it's sort of another one of those Vrabel, you know, players coach, but kind of treat everybody like an adult and trust that they're, you know, going to be adults. So, just thought it was interesting.
Maybe Vrabel just wasn't a big fan of staying in the hotel when he was a player. He said, you know, Bill, let's be able to sleep in our own beds. Like, this has been something that Aaron Rodgers is pretty vocal about. He hates he calls it the antiquated way of sleeping in something that it's not your bed when you're at home the night before a game. You sleep in it all week, and then you go to a strange bed somewhere else the night before the game. It's very interesting.
So Aaron Rodgers has complained about this. No way.
Yeah, I'm shocked that he complains about something. He never complains about anything, so I don't know if you've noticed that.
It kind of makes – I mean, yeah. I mean, I hear what he's saying. Like, you think about, like, you know, if you're an NFL player, you might have an absolutely ridiculous, like, bed situation, right? Perfect for, you know, your posturepedic stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're going to go to, like, a hotel and mess your back up.
I don't know.
I think Aaron's right again.
Vrabel's ahead of the game. He's leading the charge.
Maybe this is the key all along.
That's right. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Right now, buy $100 and get $50 free to the Woodhouse Spa Nashville. Save 75% off at Nashville Armory, the Beanbag Coffee and Tea Shop, and Seafood Sensation, and get $50 free with a $100 purchase in downtown dollars. You can check out all of Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans when we come back. How does this Titans team compare to some great Titans teams of the past? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Excitement level like after a week of practice, and how anxious you guys were to play?
I would say we're really excited. I mean, you try to play it down, you know, people say just another game, this, that, and the other. Like, this is a winner-go-home situation. Like, we're extremely excited, and I think that Nissan Stadium, this is a huge opportunity for our fans to show us what they have, and we can't wait to see them come and support us. It's going to be – Nashville's an amazing city. This place is just a party town. So hopefully we keep that trend rolling on Saturday.
And we're going to go out there, you know, and put on a show for them. That's where the week of preparation comes from, coming out here, working each and every day and not taking it for granted, and understand what we have in front of us here. So
that was Taylor Lewan and Julio Jones yesterday at a frigid Titans practice. I will say one of my favorite parts from watching the videos come out of practice yesterday, AJ Brown, not a big fan of the cold. It's like, we're of the same mind there. That's one area where AJ Brown and I are very similar. Athleticism, I'll give him the slight edge, but the fear of the cold, we don't like it.
I gotta say, And this is coming from a native Michigander who spent a lot of time up there. I felt AJ Brown's pain completely. It was so bad. It was just the wind. It was a wind tunnel over there yesterday.
Yeah.
It was brutal, man. So I was with AJ. He was kind of like, in front of all the cameras by one of those space heaters, and I was way to the right. Like, at one point I put my hand up to it and I hit it with my wedding ring, and it made like this loud sound and messed up all the TV audio.
Yeah.
Everybody got mad at me, but I don't care. I don't care, man. If I have to burn my hand off and mess up all your interviews, I don't care. It was that bad.
Well, as AJ Brown said, at least the Titans will be mentally prepared as they take the field coming up tomorrow at Nissan Stadium. Not going to be warm tomorrow either, although I will say probably will not be, at least at kickoff tomorrow, probably won't be as cold as it was yesterday. At least I hope not. So we'll see what happens on that front.
It'll be sunny too, so maybe that'll help a little.
Yeah, I feel like a nice tropical paradise as some people have made Nashville seem like out there in the NFL circles.
That's right. Sunny, warm Nashville all year long.
That's right. Never gets below 72 degrees in Nashville, Tennessee, according to some. We'll see what happens on that front tomorrow at Nissan Stadium. Joe, I was thinking about this last night. There's so much anticipation about this game and this team heading into the postseason. And we've talked for, 2 years now about the window to win that this Titans team has with Tannehill at quarterback, Henry at running back, and the job that Mike Vrabel and John Robinson have done. I just wonder if you're a Titans fan that's been around for a long time and you have seen the days of McNair and Eddie George and the run to the Super Bowl and the 13-3 season the following year in 2000, the number one seed season in 2008 where you lost to the Ravens, and now the number one seed season this year heading into this postseason run. I'm just curious where the confidence level is, how you think these teams compare to some of these great Titans teams from the past. Obviously, it's a difficult conversation to have because we know the end result of those teams from the past, right? I mean, one team makes it to a Super Bowl. The other team, who I think we've talked about this a lot here on the show, the team the next year, I think, was a better team than the Super Bowl team, and they get put out in the divisional round. So it's tough to go back and make comparisons, and it's two different eras. I realize all these things are the case. But I just wonder how this team, now that it's healthy, stacks up to other Titans teams of the past, because look, I think this team has a legitimate chance to make a Super Bowl run, a better chance than they've had in a long time to make a Super Bowl run. And I'd be interested to know, if you're a longtime Titans fan, how you think this team stacks up to some of the teams of the past.
Yeah, it's a good question. The one thing that comes to mind first of all is, look at this team and kind of what's gone on the last few years and realize that you are in one of those stretches that you're going to be talking about 20 years from now.
Yep.
Now, maybe you're going to be talking about the same kind of thing where, so many great players and such a great team and just came up short and couldn't quite get it done. Obviously, I mean, this team right now is two home wins and then one neutral site win away from doing something that's never been done in the franchise. Never been done in the city, never been done in the state, a major professional championship. So already, like, you're that close. But like you said, I mean, that's going to be the, we're going to look back, but also, like, understand that that's what you're in right now as a Titans fan. Like, you're in glory days right now. I mean, really. That's what's interesting too, is I feel like even, And I hate to lean in on, like, the whole national respect thing, because I think it's overblown always. And I think there's actually been plenty of respect. I've seen plenty of people picking the Titans. I've seen people picking the Titans together, the AFC. So it's not like, I don't think it's, out of hand or anything. But I do feel like people kind of almost forget that they were in the AFC Championship game 2 years ago,
Yeah.
And this is basically, it's the same core group. So this isn't like some upstart out of nowhere thing. This is, you go from the Tannehill switch to now, and they've been one of the very best teams in the NFL by any measure from then. So you're talking more than 2 years in a row now. So, but if you want to go nitty gritty, compare these teams, we've talked about the Hall of Fame stuff with those teams. you know, I don't think anyone is going to end up in it. I mean, things can change. Eddie George got a little bit of momentum this year.
Yep.
But at this point, I don't think anyone will be. And you know, with this team right now, there's one that I think we feel good about for sure. And there could be more. This could end up being you know, better.
Well, I mean, you got Hall of Fame wide receiver Julio Jones on your squad right now for sure. So he's getting there.
That is true. That is true. And that's the thing too. It's like, will we look back and remember just, my gosh, you gave up a second round pick and that was a problem? Or is it like, you know, I mean, because again, right now Julio Jones is signed up for next year, and it's going to be somewhat painful for him to not be on the team next year. Right now, he looks like maybe he's ready to do something in this postseason. You know, that story still hasn't been written.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you've got a chance to do something tomorrow. If you win tomorrow's game, you will have tied, you know, the McNair-George era for trips to the AFC title game in the last couple of years. Like, they never went 2 out of 3 to the AFC title game. I think it was 2 out of 4, maybe 2 out of 5. Anyway, they went to the AFC title game twice.
99 and 02 seasons, right?
Yeah.
So 2 out of 4.
Two out of four. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, does that ultimately matter too much at the end of the day? No, because, you know, the McNair team got to the Super Bowl in 99, and that's the bar. Like, you got to get to the Super Bowl here, and I realize that. But, I mean, to your point, we still talk about those McNair and Eddie George teams, about the glory days of the Titans. I don't know when this current run that they're on is going to come to an end. It could be tomorrow. Like, tomorrow's game could be kind of the you know, the point where we look back and say, all right, well, that playoff game against the Bengals is where things started to go the other way. I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens. They could be, you know, a good team for the next 4 or 5 years in the AFC. But the point is, like, at some point, whenever this is done, we're going to look back 15, 20 years from now and say, man, that's a pretty good time to be a Titans fan. Are you going to the AFC title game? You got the number one seed. You won the division twice in a row for the first time in years. I mean, it's one of those things where it's I think, more difficult to appreciate those things while you're in the moment, and there's still something that's out there and ahead of you if you're a Titans fan. But this is a pretty sweet time to be a Tennessee Titans fan, and you got a chance tomorrow to do something that you've never done before, and that's go to 2 AFC title games in 3 years.
Well, and also to have an AFC title game in your town, which has never happened. I mean, that alone. So, yeah, it should be exciting, because I know that there are, you know, I mean, I understand that there's going to be nervousness and thinking about the past times as a one seed and all that stuff. But I don't, you know, I think you should embrace this, enjoy it, appreciate it. And I think the team is in a good spot. Again, I have no idea. Like did the out of character plays that happened in those two games, you know, especially probably in the last one, in the 08 team, like, did that have something to do with, you know, just some kind of, I don't know, nervousness or like too much pressure or whatever? Is it just because it's an oblong ball and weird stuff happens? You know, I don't know. But obviously, that's a huge part of the story here, and that's part of why I think people are nervous about it. But yeah, I mean, you should feel good. And I, you know, I was thinking about this. I mean, you tell me, you're going to tell me that there's been a better, and we'll see what it's like. And you know, there's no guarantee. We'll have to see what it's like. But I would say that 13 years would probably be the last time the stadium would be as good as it is tomorrow. That'd be my guess. And I'm basing that purely on, you know, you expect an atmosphere to be a totally different thing for the playoffs. But I mean, that's, you know, think about that. I mean, that's, you know, that's a long time in that stadium when it was named something else, to where you've had, you know, a scene like this. So you gotta, obviously they don't come too often. I think right now also you should be excited as a Titans fan, because there are things in place to make this more consistent moving forward and be able to handle the dips and maybe not let them be so dramatic. So maybe you can be one of those franchises in the NFL that can maintain some level of respectability even when you're cycling down. We'll see on that. I think that there's things in place for that. But in the meantime, right now is the go time.
I think that's a great point. We got a lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get to that coming up next. How does this Titans team compare to some of the great Titans teams from years past? We'll continue that conversation on the other side. Make sure you're tuning in tonight from 6 to 7 p.m. for the NFL Playoffs Tonight Show with Chase McCabe as he breaks down the upcoming playoff game for the Two-Tone Blue. The NFL Playoffs Tonight Show is presented by Hard Rock Cafe, Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyos Clinic Smile LASIK and Hair Restoration. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You tell the guys to kind of balance being able, like, you want to go out there and be excited, but you want to take it forward. Just it is just a game, even though it's kind of like do or die. Like, how do you get the guys to balance?
Well, I would never say it's just a game. You know what I mean? This is, you know, our families are invested in what we do. Right. You know, this is all we know. This is, you know, our players are deeply invested at this point. So, you know, this is more than just a game. This is an opportunity to, you know, we've put ourselves in a position. Now you have to win to move on. So, but, you know, we haven't really, I mean, I think we're excited. I think we're ready to play. You know, I think we've been off. And these guys were prepared to play long into 2022.
It was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday at his press conference. The Titans excited to get back on the field and to take on the Cincinnati Bengals coming up tomorrow at Nissan Stadium in the divisional round. Taking your thoughts on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, this is by far the best team yet to make it here, but they have to go out there and execute. It's the depth for me. As many players had to come in and execute was absolutely beneficial for this run. So one vote that this is the best team the Titans have ever had to make it to this point.
Okay. I would definitely say, you know, relative to the league, that the 2000 team is the best. That would be my argument, that the 2000 team was the best going into the playoffs. Like, okay, that's the team. That's how I recall it. You know, I really thought that team was going to win it all. Kind of take that next step, you know, after just coming up short a year earlier. And I don't – now, look, this team could prove like, – look, you got a record-setting performance. You got a couple of them. You got the 91 players thing. You also have more wins over winning teams than anyone has ever had in NFL history. I understand you added a game this year to the schedule, stupidly. But that's still pretty impressive. And it's not just like a bunch of 9-7 – oh, I'm sorry, 9-8 teams. It's right. The Bills and the Chiefs and the Rams. And again, the Titans are 4-0 against the remaining field in the playoffs. So it's one of those things where if they close the deal, then we can look back and say, yep, this is the best team ever. I mean, honestly, if they win two home games and get to the Super Bowl, then you can have the debate. But I think until then you can't, because ultimately what defines greatness in a team, it's performing in these moments.
Devin from Dover on the text line says, top five all times Titans team. Still think the early 2000 teams were better top to bottom teams. I'm still just as nervous for this game as I would be if they were the 7 seed. To do what they did without Derek most of the year is why they're up there for me. This coming from Devin from Dover on the text line.
Yeah. And that's also to me kind of like, I mean, I just think it makes for a cooler story. So, of course, I always think about it in terms of like a good story, right? But as a fan or as a member of the organization, or just a member of the team or the coaching staff, to see all these people come through and know how difficult it has to be to, you know, to get someone ready to go, okay, you're in at left tackle, go. You know? Yeah. And now you're back on someone's practice squad. Thank you. You know, and different corners have been all over the field for this team. And, you know, every single position group at different times has had, you know, you got Dylan Radins just going there and, hey, there's Nick Bosa. And, yes, he got help. But still, like, even that part of it kind of changes his story, right? If that night hadn't happened, at some point we'd go back and look at this roster and say, my gosh, you know, what have they done here? And now it's a little bit more like, okay, well, maybe there is some hope for him. I mean, there's so many individual stories in this team, which I think makes it a better overall story.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Luke from Lawrenceburg texting in says, I think with the team coming together as it is right now, we're as good or better than an 0-8. As good as I feel about this team, I've never been so nervous, especially with the early Saturday game, because I don't want my entire weekend ruined. That is one thing. Like, if things don't go well tomorrow, it's going to be a tough weekend here in Nashville.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, that's
time to think about it heading into next week.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, this is, if there's not risk here, if there's not emotional risk here, then really, you know, what is it? If it's supposed to be easy or it's a cakewalk, then why is it worthwhile? You know, that's the great thing. Embrace it.
Henry texting in says, I don't think anyone is going to be talking nationally much about the Titans until they beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. To be the best, you have to say that you beat the best. What say you?
Well, if they beat the Bills, it'll be the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, it may well be the Bills coming out of Kansas City this week. But, yeah, you know, it's again, a lot of the de facto AFC title game stuff. I thought Stephen Holder was close to saying that yesterday, by the way. He's close.
He was real close.
You know, but that, look, that's how – I mean, I get it. I mean, I get it to a point. But, you know, if the Titans look really good tomorrow and they win, then I don't think next week it's going to be like, okay, so Bills, Chiefs. So they've got a breeze to the Super Bowl, and we may as well not even play this. I don't think that, you know what I mean, like that. I don't think that's how people look at it. The Titans kind of have to remind people like who they are. And if they come out and play really well and win and look good doing it, and 22 is a big part of it, and he looks like 22, then I think people probably think differently about that.
Matt from Nolensville texting in says, hopefully a month from now, you guys are comparing Julio Jones and Ryan Johansson. They don't show up in the regular season, but are beasts in the postseason. I would say Ryan Johansson's had a pretty good year, in fairness.
Well, what about Colin Wilson? You know, playoff Colin Wilson, playoff Julio Jones.
Yeah, man.
Speaking of which, I'm going to find a pretty amazing stat on Julio Jones. That's one of the things that's come up this week. You know, his playoff track record is really impressive. Now, of course, the problem with trying to apply that to anything now is, like, I mean, everything about Julio Jones was incredibly impressive until very recently. So it's
his,
like,
track record for the time he was 5 years old has been very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, shoot. Again, even like last year, if Julio Jones, who played last year for Atlanta, was here, again, he missed half the year, but when he played, the numbers were right up there with his best years. So, but this is an interesting stat from the Titans. I think you give Dwight Spradlin credit for this. Most scrimmage yards per playoff game since 1970. You got to have a minimum of six playoff games. Number two all time scrimmage yards a game, Derrick Henry, 126.3. Number nine all time, and the only receiver on the list, because, you know, you would think this would probably mostly be running backs, right?
Yep.
The only receiver on the list, number nine all time, Julio Jones, eight playoff games, 107.4 scrimmage yards per game. So you got two of the top nine since the merger on this team going into tomorrow.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. Now let me ask you this: who's number one?
I don't know. I'm guessing a running back.
Give it a try.
I will go Marcus Allen.
That's a great guess, and he destroyed my hopes one Super Bowl when he beat the Washington football team and bludgeoned them. He is third, 117.3. Okay. Number one, a guy who shows you that you don't have to have a long career to be shoo-in for Canton, Terrell Davis, 158.9 a game. So I mean, Derrick Henry second, 126.3, which is a huge number. Terrell Davis, 158.9 in eight games. And I mean, he was just I mean, he just was dominant. So, but that's it. That's pretty amazing, though. I mean, and again, it's like, that's great. I'd be careful to like apply Julio from then to now. You know, another thing about that that's interesting is, I mean, Julio Jones has been in the league so much longer, right, than Derrick Henry. He has 8 all-time playoff games, and Derrick Henry has 6 all-time playoff games. Pretty interesting there. And, of course, Julio does have the Super Bowl, and we won't bring up 28-3. Oops, I brought it up, so I'm sorry.
We'll continue to get to more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Also, get to some interesting comments made yesterday by Taylor Lewan as well. All that coming up on the other side. Let me tell you about my friends at Jasper's as the neighborhood bar and restaurant to catch the next Preds games. Jasper's is located on Weston Avenue and offers a fun atmosphere with a game room, TVs, and a large bar and lounge area, plus free parking. That's right, free parking downtown on West End. We know what a big deal that is. And they offer specials for every Preds game day, including $10 smash burgers and $3 bottled domestics as well. So come on down to Jasper's next game day for happy hour every single weekday from 4 to 6 p.m. and 2-for-1 beers all day long on Sundays. Just tell them that Robbie Stanley sent you.